Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
First, the Israeli military has said that Hamas fighters have nowhere to hide in Gaza. It said the Israeli Air Force was carrying out intensive airstrikes on the Palestinian territory in waves every 4 hours. The upsurge in violence began on Saturday when Hamas gunmen crossed from Gaza into Israel and killed and wounded hundreds of Israelis and took dozens of people hostage. While in Gaza, almost 700 people have died from Israeli airstrikes on the Palestinian territory. This morning, the Israeli army said the bodies of 1,500 Hamas gunmen had been found close to the Gaza Strip. Well, we're joined now by a consultant surgeon at Liverpool Hospital who travelled to Gaza last week to perform kidney transplants. Those plans were derailed by the violence that has erupted in recent days. Dr. Abdelkader Hamad, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Claire.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Can you explain to us where you are now?
Okay, at the moment I am in a UN shelter in the middle of Gaza. We moved here since Saturday midday.
And how has the night been? What happened overnight?
Oh, the night was terrible. I mean, continuous sounds and noises of explosions, air raids, shells, explosions. The building was shaking. In fact, we can hear the glass breaking nearby, and it was really a tough night.
But you can't leave to see what has happened overnight or even to begin helping people who may have been injured.
No, in fact, I just went, which is about 20 meters from where I am in the shelter to the pharmacy, because we have people here who need medications, and there is a pharmacy store across the yard. So I went there with protective gear and everything to get some medications for the people here. And when I went out, it looked to me like after the mass of an earthquake, the debris, the glass, even the pharmacy, the windows have been shattered, the things on the floor, and it's devastating. Although we didn't have a direct hit to this compound, but it is from the surrounding airstrike.
But that gives you an indication as to what might be happening in the wider area in Gaza, near where you are.
Yeah, I've been speaking to my colleagues, I mean, where I do the operations, usually at a Shifa hospital. And they all of them have to move from their houses to other ground floor apartments with other neighbors or relatives. And they told me the geography of Gaza had changed. It's so you can't recognize the streets which you saw 2 days ago. All buildings are damaged, the streets themselves, and they said a lot of casualties coming to the hospital.
And the hospital is still operational?
Yeah, it has to, because, I mean, obviously they have shortage of medication, shortage of equipment, and that's in the best of times. But, I mean, during wars, it is they need all this equipment to treat this overwhelming number of casualties.
Mm-hmm. You went to Gaza, as I mentioned, to perform surgery, to save lives. I know it's something that you have been doing over the years, but now you're in a very different situation.
Yeah, that's the irony of it, which is I come here. I mean, I've been coming here over the past 10 years doing 4 or 5 kidney transplants in each visit, trying to save the lives of a few people. But the irony is, I mean, they can kill thousands of people in 2 days, which is, it brings me to despair, really.
When you see what's happening around you, you go there to save a couple of lives if you can, and there are hundreds of people now likely to be dying in the wider area.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's. I mean, it just sometimes you think, what's the point of saving a couple of lives, and they can hundreds of people can be killed like this.
The outlook then, I mean, Israel has said it's going to cut off food, water, fuel, electricity to Gaza. I mean, it's hard to consider the immediate future, let alone what that might look like in 2 weeks or 2 months.
Oh, it will be devastating. I mean, already there are shortages in Gaza. I mean, it's difficult for people. I mean, we are in a privileged situation ourselves, I mean, in a UN facility and so on. But for the ordinary people in Gaza, no water, no electricity, no fuel, no supplies, this will be terrible. And, you know, there are children, I mean, probably half of the population of Gaza is under the age of 15.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you are based in Liverpool. In your normal life or your regular life, you know how the conflict is reported, you know how it's understood overseas. What insights from your own experience do you wish people better understood?
I've been coming to Gaza for the past 10 years. I can see by my own eyes that the situation is getting worse. People are desperate. The economic situation is desperate. The unemployment, all those people who have no income, nothing at all. And in retrospect, people should think that at some stage there will be a reaction to this. So I said to them, probably the things didn't start on Friday or Saturday. This has been boiling for a long time and just exploded.
Mm-hmm. I know you're not a politician. I know you're a doctor who goes in there to do what you can. Do you have any understanding as to why Hamas did this, knowing what the reaction would be from Israel?
I mean, obviously, I don't know what they think. I mean, as you said, I am not a politician. I'm a doctor saving lives. But I mean, as I said, this is not, I'm not giving excuse for anything, but I think I'm giving the root causes for the problems, which is, as a doctor, usually I do in my own work, which is go into the root of the problems. And I think it is, I mean, it's been, as I said, it's the situation over the years has boiled into a point where this happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, I'm not a politician to analyze what's going on, what's happening. But that's, I think, the general, I mean, when you ask the people around me, that's their general understanding.
Okay. What will happen now? I mean, do you expect to be able to leave in the coming days?
Okay. So at the moment, we've been briefed that the only realistic way of getting out is through Rafah crossing through Egypt. But this needs to have a safe corridor to the crossing from where we are, and also coordination with the Egyptian authorities. So we are waiting for the efforts from the UN, the foreign embassies to secure that.
Mm-hmm. So that you hope will be in the coming days?
Hopefully, we are hoping that.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us, and we hope that you stay safe and well there, Dr. Hamad.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Take care.
All right.
Well, Dr. Irina Lazareva is a journalist, rather, in Israel, and she joins me on the line now. Irina, thank you for joining us again on the programme. So Dr. Hamad there was speaking to us from Gaza. You're in the West Bank. We hear now about hundreds of casualties on both sides of this. What's your take on where it stands this morning?
Yes, I'm here currently in Tel Aviv in central Israel. The streets are still deserted, more or less. A lot of people are flocking to the shops to stock up on supplies. Some of the Israeli supermarket chains have imposed a limit on people actually buying basics such as milk, eggs and bread. so that the stocks are not depleted too quickly. So the mood is generally one of panic. Everyone is worrying about the possibility of a second front opening up from the north on the border between Israel and Lebanon. There's been some exchanges of fire yesterday. Residents in the north have also been told to take shelter. They, until now, have been spared any rockets as yet, but yesterday the situation got worse, and everyone's waiting to see if this will indeed deteriorate. As for the south, the Israeli army said that they have secured the border passages between Israel and Gaza, but still, even this morning, there have been some Hamas gunmen that were discovered on a beach in Israel, right on the border with Gaza. Still, fighting is continuing. Families of those held hostage have been informed that this is where they are, and generally the mood is very bleak.
And Israel has said that the border with Gaza has been secured, but are people confident where you are that the border is safe now?
No, no one is confident of anything, because the government has been completely caught by surprise on Saturday morning. And also it's bolstered by the fact that many IDF soldiers have been called up to serve in the reserves, and they are writing back to their families and friends saying, we don't have helmets, we don't have the right gear, we don't have necessary food in place. So there's a sense that, again, Israel has been caught off guard, even, you know, several days into this war. So a lot of people are not reassured by this. Moreover, everyone knows that hundreds of Palestinian gunmen, fighters have infiltrated Israel since Saturday morning, and it's not clear whether all of them have been captured. It's not clear whether Israel knows their whereabouts, probably not. And many people are fearing not just the rockets from Gaza, but the potential of a terrorist attack, the potential that someone is hiding out somewhere waiting for an opportune moment to commit some kind of an atrocity in a popular central shopping mall or town square.
So that explains the sense of nervousness that you describe there. And yes. Also what's happening as well, Inna, as I understand, is that the Air Force, the Israeli Air Force, is mobilising forces by flying the IDF soldiers who might be abroad at the moment. And we know that 300,000 reservists have been called up. So what's happening there?
Absolutely, yes. There's a sense that everyone is scrambling to get everything ready together for a possible ground operation in Gaza, whether that will be by air or forces going in, we don't know yet. There is generally just a mood of not knowing, because everyone is trying to think forward. What options does Israel actually have at this point? On the one hand, Hamas is holding about 150 Israelis and foreign nationals hostage. Now, in the past, an exchange of hostages has been such that for one Israeli soldier released, there would have been over 1,000 Palestinian prisoners released, many of whom have committed crimes and even murder against Israeli citizens. So you can imagine that's a very, very tough pill, a very bitter pill for Israelis to swallow, the idea of releasing 150 people in exchange for possibly tens of thousands of Palestinian prisoners. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, Israel, as you know, has imposed, and we just heard from the doctor, is imposing a very, very tight siege on Gaza. Now, in a few days, weeks, this will result in a complete humanitarian catastrophe. This is a very narrow strip of land with very limited facilities as it is, and limiting the income of stopping the income of electricity, food, water, gasoline, and other things could be completely disastrous. It would be terrible for the local population, some of whom have nothing to do, of course, with Hamas, all of whom are inadvertently involved because they are, by virtue of the fact that they live there, many of whom have absolutely no secure place to hide. And the third option is, of course, as I mentioned, the military operation Israel going into Gaza, either troops or by air. Again, this will be disastrous for both sides in terms of losses of lives. And here I'm not mentioning the possibility of the northern front opening up. So there are no good options at the moment.
I see the World Health Organization is calling for a humanitarian corridor to be established. So they say they're going to speak to Egypt about that to see whether they could get some supplies into Gaza from that side. Do you think that Israel will allow that to happen?
Difficult to say. The Egypt border between Egypt and Gaza is open at the moment. So, even Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu has encouraged Palestinian civilians to flee the Gaza Strip, as he promised a complete wreckage of the place. He termed Hamas as akin to ISIS, and that the response will be very, very brutal. So I'm not sure. I don't know yet what the Israeli government will do about the humanitarian corridor, but personally, I certainly hope it will happen.
All right. Well, that call from the World Health Organization has just been made in the last few minutes, so I'm sure we'll hear more on that throughout the day. But for now, Inna, thank you very much for joining us. Inna Lazareva there speaking to us from Israel this morning. We'll take a break back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.